That didn't work so well. But there was a lady that was burdened to teach and train up our young girls, and now we have an abundance of piano players, and just thankful that she was nervous tonight. And if you don't like her playing, you can take mine, and you're really not going to like that. But she played good. If you've heard mine, you don't want any more of it, that's for sure.
Okay, we're going to do something a little different. From some years ago, I began using PowerPoint lectures in the first in the Pioneer Home, and then of late in the Eagle Wings. And I found it a good teaching tool, and I enjoy doing them. I've gotten quite a bit of help from Brother Ryan and over the years getting going in this, and Brother Fort especially helped me to get some editing done on this presentation. I got the idea for this message from a devotional that I was doing a while back, and began to study it out a little bit, taking some notes and so on, and actually when Pastor Demo asked me to preach, I had another message in mind, but as I began putting this study together, it really got to my heart about some things that God was saying to me about who He is and how much I need Him and how much I really need to trust in Him. Can everybody see up here? Okay. And so we're going to be looking at just one verse from Psalm 18, verse 2, but it's a loaded verse. You're going to see as I got going in this, there's a number of points in here that are naturally a part of this message. And if you start, it's kind of like one of those onion messages or artichoke messages. You start taking it apart and it just keeps going and going and going. And so I actually had to tone some things down, or it would probably been here. It would have been a long freight train message. Because you know, when you get looking at these aspects of how God describes Himself and wants us to understand Him as that way, it has a lot in the Bible about this. Okay, so the Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Let's pray and then we'll continue. Father God, I do thank You for this time to be before Your people tonight. Lord, I do pray that You'd hold me up and help me to bring this message in a clear and meaningful way. And I thank You for how You've blessed me already in the time that I've had to look at this portion of Your scriptures in Jesus. Again, the Bible starts out here, and God begins describing Himself as He is my rock. This was David was saying this, something that he knew, and he knew God in this way. In Deuteronomy 32, verses 3 through 4, the Bible says, "But I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto the Lord. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He." And so, there are other belief systems, and there are other faiths, and there's other religions that have personages of them that have claim to authority. But our God is not just any God, but He is the God. When He describes Himself as the rock, well, He's not talking about a little stone, but He's talking about something that's awesome and majestic, and that even as Denali, when you stand before this mountain and you look at it, we're naturally humbled by the presence of this wonderful creation of nature. And when we begin to contemplate our God and who He truly is, it should, in that same sense, put us in a position of humbleness and a position of openness and seeking to be, you know, all that he would be for us. And you know, storms in life are going to come. If they haven't in your life, they will. And for the Christian, you know, and I feel our world is full of warfare and strife, families, countries. People don't have anything to put their feet on and trust for their daily walk, for their life. But we as Christians do. We have the rock, the rock. We have, as we're going to see, he is our God and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 7, we know that that teaching of Jesus, that he spoke of how that the person that built his house on sand was a picture of the people of this world that put their faith in either nothing or a man-made foundation. And when the times of stress come, they're going to be washed away. Ultimately, the individual that doesn't know Christ as the rock, as their Savior, is going to spend eternity in hell because they haven't, their faith hasn't been founded on the rock. The Bible says this wise man, well, he went through the storms, and we're going to go through storms too. But if we have our foundation and our feet on this rock, we have something solid to protect us, to hold us in those great times of stress. David said of his Lord, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." And here again, David was asking something of his God, that he would lead him, guide him, give him protection and direction in life. And that's something that we can have from our great God. God is our rock, also speaks of the immutable, unchanging nature of our God. The Mormon gods, the Buddhist gods, and so on, the vagaries on their own style and system are flawed and weak and something that you can't really trust on. The Mormon Bible, for instance, they've changed it many, many times because simply their faith isn't set on anything that's solid or true. And again, he is the source of all that is true of an everlasting nature, and the saint of God can rest in the simple truth of Hebrews 13, verse 8, where it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's our rock. We can trust him for every individual facet of our life. In that, as imperfect as we are, we have a perfect God that we can go to draw strength from, that can be a foundation in our life. God says simply of himself in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." I'm thankful for that I can go to a God who I know who he is, and that what he says in his word is going to be the final authority, what I need to know, and that his word as himself, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can count on that. Our rock can be a source of rest. It can be a source of shelter and comfort. In Psalm 94, verse 22, it says, "But the Lord is my defense, and my God is a rock of refuge." You know, sometimes we need when the storms of life and the difficulties in life come, sometimes we need a place to just hide in the rock. We need a place of respite and refuge. And we can always trust that, you know, as he says, the Lord is his defense. That God is always watching out for us in our life. And we can trust him, you know, and that we're going to look at some other aspects of this in a little bit about how, you know, there are times when we need to have a place to go to get away from some of the things that are going on in life, and we can trust God to provide for us. There was a lady name of Hannah that was looking to have a child, and she prayed and prayed and prayed, and finally God answered her prayer, and she gave up her praise to God in this way and described him in this sense. In 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 2, the Bible says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord." Now that's a If you know what that means, then you come and tell me, because I don't know all that's intimated in that. But she also says, "My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in my salvation." He says, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none else beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." This was the testimony of a lady who had been through some things in her life, trials and testing in her marriage and in her spiritual life. But she could testify that this was something that kept her going in life, and that she testified that her God was her rock, something that she could depend upon. And when she made her petition before her God that God would give her children, and God honored that. And of course, you know, if you're going through thinking about all these aspects of of God as our rock, well, I can't get all of them, and there's some important ones that I haven't been able to touch on, but this is one that I wanted to include. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock is Christ." That's something that you and me, that every believer can hold on to. Whatever happens in this life, the Lord Jesus Christ is identified as the rock of our salvation. Matthew 16:18, it says, Jesus said, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter." Peter Cephas was known as the rock. He was a little rock, a stone. And Jesus said, "Upon this rock himself I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And Plaque Road Baptist Church is one of the evidences of the truth of that, that God has kept his promise, in that he has, down through time, multiplied believers in churches, and will continue to do that as long as there's time in this world. Then the next portion that we want to look at, he said that the Lord is my rock and my fortress. In Psalm 71, verse 3, the Bible says, "But be thou my strong habitation." And that's a strong phrase there. That phrase actually very, very wonderfully describes what a fortress is. That word in the That phrase in the Hebrew means an abode or refuge of God. So, again, God is defining here, the psalm writer is, what this fortress is. He says again, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort." A place you can go. A place where you can see rest and comfort and shelter. He says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress." If you haven't noticed already, and as we go through this lesson, you're going to see that very, very often God uses these terms again and again and again. Rock, fortress, high tower, deliverer, and so on. Why? Because he wants us to know him that way. He wants us to understand the characteristics, the value that we have in our standing with Christ, with our God, and to make avail of him and recognize him in that way, so that we can receive the blessing of his help and care in our life. This is a place at which we can go at any time that we need comfort, protection, or rest. It's a special place where we can get out of the storms of life. I think about when This is Masada. I don't want to go there yet. When I was in Vietnam, at one of the stations I was at, we'd built some big bunkers, 16 by 12 bridge timbers, lots of sandbags, metal PSP and all that stuff. And most of the time when I would go out and set up my machine gun position, it'd be in one of those bunkers. And I liked that. I felt like I had something around me. I had a defense. I had cover. I had concealment. It was, if you had to go into battle, if you had to go and be in a situation, you wanted to be there. Well, one time we had an alert, and my captain, he came and sent an order out. He wanted me to go set up my gun in another position, another part of the perimeter. And all that was there was a little depression, a little ditch about that deep, about that wide. And I set my gun up out there, and I didn't feel very well protected at all. I wanted to be in that fort. I wanted to be in that bunker, especially after 105-millimeter casing from a parachute flare landed about 10 feet away and buried itself in the ground. I didn't feel very protected at all. Well, what I'm saying is that God has provided for us a fortress. He's provided protection that we can come to Him. Even like, getting into that bunker was a good, comfortable feeling for me. I knew that I was as safe as I could be. Well, when we're under the protection of our God, we're as safe as we can be. And this picture of this fortress is even as Masada. This was it was a fortress that was set on top of a hill in Israel. This was the last holdout when the Romans were taking over Israel in AD 70. The Romans forced the Jews up into this structure, and from there, the Romans never did take Masada. They assaulted it again and again, and the Jews, rather than surrender, they gave up their own lives. But the picture is here, God can put us in a place like this, in a fortress that's impregnable. Better place to be. Nahum 1:7, the Bible says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him." A place that you can go, a sure place that you can go when troubles come. It was said of King Jotham in 2 Chronicles 27, verse 4, says, "Moreover, he built cities in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers." That's a term there. Castle is the same word used for fortress. And what he was showing here, that these fortresses, these castles, they were available to all the people at all times. It says he built them in the mountains of Judah, and in the forest he built castles and towers. The cities themselves were walled, and they were in themselves fortresses. Not all people had access to them, but Jotham built these places of refuge, so that when the enemy came, the people had a place to go. You know, I think about, just knowing that place of refuge was there had to be a comfort to those people. And, also, a fortress is not just a place of refuge, but it's also a place from which to launch attacks against the enemy. Yeah, it's a good place to regroup, to get close with the Lord, to get prepared for the challenge that's coming to you, and then to react to it and get busy and about the Lord. He's also our deliverer. Now, if we had Brother Chris here, maybe I could get him to come up here and sing this. But I'm not going to try to sing it, but I am going to read it. The Bible, this hymn says, "'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee." He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee from what? Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. He's the rock. He's our fortress. He's our deliverer. When there's nothing else, I've learned in my own life, the hard way, when there was nothing else in my life, nobody around me to help me, And the world was so dark that all there was one little ray of light. That was the Lord. He was my deliverer, and he helped me to get through even the darkest times in my life. He was my rock in that. And I didn't recognize all that I had in him, but I do now, certainly. And that he held me up even in the most difficult times in my life because I was his child and he loved me. We know dramatic examples of deliverance. Of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, they were faced with a challenge in their life. Bow down to the idols or face the fiery furnace. They said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. See, you see, those men, their faith was fixed already. They were standing on the rock. They knew their position, and they weren't going to turn from their God and worship this idol. And it says, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to what? To deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Nebuchadnezzar cut people's heads off for looking at him wrong. He was a bad dude. Here they're telling the king, God is going to deliver us, and he's going to deliver us out of your hand, king. And God willed to do that, and he did do that. He can deliver us from situations that we believe in our own strength are impossible for us to survive. But with God as our strength, as our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, he can bring us through any challenge that will come in our life. We know also Daniel from chapter 6 of that book. The Bible says the king commanded and they brought Daniel and they cast him into the den of lions. They were to cast him into the den of lions just for violating the order to not pray to the gods of the Babylonians. And this is interesting because this isn't Daniel that's speaking here. It's the king, Darius. It says, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. This was a lost man. He knew something about Daniel. He knew something about the faith that he had in his God. And his testimony was, my God hath sent his angel, and he hath shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And so, this is a seemingly impossible situation. But God got him through it. And when you're faced with a seemingly impossible situation that you're in, you need to remember the first place you need to turn is to God, because he can deliver you through it. You're willing to act in faith and trust in him and his work and will in your life, he can and will bring blessing to you. And the situations that you and I might find ourselves in, you say, well, you know, they would maybe never be as dramatic as this. But I'll tell you what, when you're going through something tough, it can be just as tough relatively as facing a den of lions. But God is faithful. He is our strength. The Bible says in Isaiah 41, verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Again, it's something to know that the God of heaven and earth, and that all that is, he's willing and he is there, and he is going to defend us and watch out for us with even the unlimited power of God. Again, that God is able to strengthen us and bring strength into our life to help us to meet the challenges that surely do come. And he says, you know, don't be dismayed. You know, I was reading with Brother Jose earlier in the week in the Psalms, and in two places it said, you know, I don't have it right now, but he said, why is your soul disquiet? Why are you fallen? Well, sometimes we let things in life overwhelm and overcome us, when we need to turn to the rock. We need to get close to the fort. We need to get and understand that God is our deliverer and he will help us through some things because he is the Almighty God and he can bring us through any situation. And you know, and I know that you know these scriptures and have heard a lot of this scripture, but what we need and what I have to practice to do is to make it personal and really understand. These weren't just empty words that God had written in his book. They're for us, for today, for the life that we live, and to meet the challenges that surely come. And you know, it says there in Isaiah 40, 29 through 31, he giveth power to the faint. You ever been in a position where you just want to give up? And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He says, even the youth shall fail and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. You know, I don't have the strength that I used to when I was 25 years old like you guys. But I know that physical strength isn't the answer to most problems that you're going to face in life. Unless you establish that personal relationship with God and then remember who God is and to keep those feet anchored on the rock, to go to him in times of refuge and trust in him, because he will deliver you and me and he'll help us to get through the things that we need. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When you're worn out, when you're beat up, when you're like Joe Frazier when he had Muhammad Ali on the ropes in the Thriller in Manila, he was throwing every punch at him that he possibly could, and Ali toughed it out, and he bounced back and he took him out. Well, God can when we get into hopeless situations, God is there, you know. It's like to get to access the power, you can access the power of a huge generating plant just by sticking the cord in and getting that to the power of the, you know, of that big power plant. We can access the power of Almighty God when we're willing to get close to him, to make a connection with him, to be willing to draw upon his strength, you know, to not always be going out in the wisdom of our own minds, go out in the strength of his word, following his will, and then he can and will strengthen us, you know, to be able to keep going on, and he can make our path straight. He can give us the strengthening that we need, you know. When it says there that they shall mount up with wings as eagles, you know, you watch the eagles, it's just awesome to watch. When I used to live in Gakona, I used to go from the Richardson Highway down from the Tote Cutoff down to Gakona. You go down Gakona Hill that parallels the Copper River. And at one place, the Copper River comes right into the foot of this bluff. And numbers of times, well, they have a turnout there too where you can go out and you can view and all that stuff. But there are different times when the eagles would like to come, and they would be coming in and looking to get after the salmon that come in there. And there's times when that eagle would be hanging out there from here to the wall, away from you. And he's just hanging, just waiting for something to show up. But it's just effortless. Just absolutely effortless. Not even, he's just riding the wind currents. You know, you get wind currents up and down the river. Just riding the wind, just effortless. And we can, when we can mount up on the wings as eagles, God can carry you along you and me along just in that same way. It's absolutely effortless if we're willing to get on and trust in His strength and not to walk in our own. This is a loaded verse too. Nehemiah 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Can you say that? The Bible says that if we rejoice in the Lord always, and again, rejoice, the only way we can really rejoice in the Lord is if we're close to Him and really know and trust Him. If we're willing to be all that we can be for the Lord, if we're following His word, if we're obeying His truth, then it can be a joy with the Lord. And our walk with the Lord can be something wonderful. And the Lord can bring strength when we're connected to Him and being close to Him. When we're standing on the rock, when we have Him as our deliverer and our faithful friend. Now, you kids, take a look at this. This is for you. See this little fellow here? He's working out, and he's got that big weight. You see that? Well, that little fella, and this is for girls too, because girls can know the Lord just as much as little boys. You little girls need Him, because someday you're going to be big girls, and you're going to probably end up marrying one of them guys. And then you're really going to need a lot of help. It's the truth. But you see this little guy? He's got that big weight, and he's going up like that. He says, I can do all things through Christ with strengthening me. And sees Jesus is helping him, and he can do wonderful things. And you and I, we can do awesome, wonderful things when we trust in the Lord, when we allow Him to see, really, that little guy, you know, he's going like that, and he's got it up there. But Jesus is doing all the work. You're willing to let the Lord work in your life in that way? This is more than just a silly little cartoon. It presents a strong biblical truth for you and for me. Not just little guys, big people too. We need the Lord to be pulling the weight in our life. If we're willing to do that, then we can know blessing, we can have joy, true joy in the Lord. He is, after all, the Almighty. You know, we say that, you know, Almighty God, just... But He is. Whoop. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. The Bible says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Did you ever not ask, has there ever come a time in your life when you didn't ask God to do something because you didn't think He could do it? But we shouldn't. Every challenge, wherever it's a little molehill or whether it's a mountain in our life, we should be able to trust God to come to Him and to ask Him to accomplish our will, because He can do it, and there's nothing too hard for our God. So why not just ask Him? It also says there that He is our buckler. He is, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, in whom I will trust, and my buckler. The buckler was a small, movable shield used to protect vital body parts. Ephesians 6:16, we know, you know, that great chapter, he gives us all the spiritual armor. And the last thing it says, besides prayer, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, if you've done anything for the Lord, you're going to know that He can and will bring all kinds of trouble, strife, hurts, pains. And Satan doesn't fight against lost people. But if you're a Christian, you're marked. And He wants to take you out. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the weapons of our warfare. You know, this fella is outfitted. You know, he's ready to go. You know, and women have armor too. I think it must be a little bit different style, but they still have armor. They need it just as much as you do, as men do, you know, because they have to shield the fiery darts of the wicked one too. And it's the thing about, Josh knows from his military training that, you know, they put a lot of good equipment. They give you lots of good equipment to go out on the battlefield, don't they? Helmet, rifle, you got all this, you got the protective armor and all that stuff. You know, it's just seen the stuff that we had to go out with. But you know, the best armor, if you don't put it on, doesn't do you any good. The guy that goes out in the morning on patrol, if he leaves his flak vest, his armor, if he leaves it in the shack, well, it's not going to do him any good. And I'll tell you what, the enemy watches for stuff like that. The enemy is trained to look for the weak one, for the one that's straggling behind, for the one that's not paying attention, for the one that's not equipped. That's the first one they're going to take out. In the spiritual warfare, it's the same way. If you go out, you know, with your head down or you got it head up in the clouds and you're not paying attention, Satan's going to start throwing those fiery darts. He's going to take you out. Need to be vigilant. You need to be on the ball. You need to be prepared to meet the attack because it's going to come. And if you think that it can't happen, then Satan's already got one of them aimed right at your head. Here's a beautiful verse, Psalm 91, verse 4. It says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Under his wing. Is there any better place to be? Be close to God? To have that closeness? We can have that and know that. And God says here, he said that he'll be with us, even in that very, very same way. Under his wings, under his shadow, means under his protection. The only way, really, that you and I as a Christian won't be under his protection is if we walk away from it. If we choose to go our own way. Pride. You know, we know the best for our life, and I'm going to go that way. Oh, I talked a lot to God about it. Yeah, right. And we go and step off out onto the battlefield, and we wonder why we get into trouble. He says that his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Well, what's the truth? Well, John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Here's back to the Bible basics. This is a challenge for you, for me. How can you possibly be able to discern truth from error when you don't take the time to seriously study God's word? Do you remember the little fellow? You know, he was pumping spiritual iron. He was going to grow up and he could be a heavyweight someday. If you don't pump spiritual iron, if you don't take in good spiritual food, the meat and milk of God's word, you're never going to grow spiritually. That's your own personal responsibility, young man, young lady. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? Stored it up, that I might not sin against thee. The Bible, the word of God, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. It's what we need to make the judgments in life by, the light of God's word. And here you see him. Here's that Christian. He's holding on to God's promises. He's got him. He's trusting the Satan is trying to drag him out. See him? But he can't do it. And you look right here, pretty soon that hook is going to be gone. Because that Christian, he's hanging on to God's word, his promises. He's hanging on to what? The rock. And God's promises won't fail. And so we can fight back. As the Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful and promised. And then it comes down to the horn of our salvation. This is a little bit difficult to understand, and I don't really have a handle about what this is all about. But I do know what the Bible says, that in 1 Kings 1:50 and 51, it talked about there that the horns on the altar was a place that a person could go for refuge. Of course, the altar was in the tabernacle or the temple. It was in the holy place, and the picture is there that they were gold and they were actually trying to hold on to God. That's a good place to be. It says there, Adonijah feared because of Solomon. He rose and he went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, "Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear to me this day that he'll not slay his servant with the sword." Well, I think Adonijah was okay as long as he held on to the horns of the altar and he stayed true to his king. But when he walked away from his king, I think Solomon took his life. But the picture is that if we'll flee to God and take a hold of him and hold on to him, we can know blessings of refuge and comfort. In 1 Kings 22:11, the Bible talks about, well, one of the other aspects of the horn was pictures of strength. It was a picture of authority, of power. And you get a picture of what this is about in 1 Kings 22:11. Zedekiah the son of Chenana made him horns of iron, and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Assyrians until they have consumed them." And so it seems that as it's linked somewhat to the strength and power of God and to salvation, because it says in Luke chapter 1, 68 and 69, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." In picturing there the Lord, he is the horn of our salvation. He is our rock. He is our Savior. And the last thing that we look at is, he said, is our high tower. This is Devil's Tower in Wyoming. The tower was in the Bibles it talked about there were natural towers such as this that were set up on a high rock or mountain. There was also man-made towers, of course, that were made as places of refuge. And indeed, when you go back and you look at early American Native history, they believed that at one time the people before the Shawnees and before the other Native people, probably just after the early centuries after the flood, they had a legend that this giant bear came in and went through their village and ransacked it, and some of the people, they got up on top of the tower and they were able to fight off the bear. So the tower is not only a place of refuge, it's a place of defense. It's also a place of where you can see, you know, on top of that tower you can see everywhere around you. It's a good viewing place. And here, I got something else for you kids. See this here? Can you see this? The bear here's got a long tail. You know, in the Indian legend said that that this big bear, of course, they fought him off, but they had a legend also about how the bear lost his tail. You want to hear that story? Well, what happened was the Indian said that old Mr. Fox there, he was a sly guy. He was out fishing out on the lake in the middle of the winter, 40 below. And he caught a whole bunch of fish with his fishing rod. See? Then he sees the old bear coming. Now, the bear can't see very good, you know. And so he takes and hides his fishing rod, and the bear comes up there, and he sees all those fish, and he wants some of those fish. Well, the fox won't give him any. But he says, you can get all the fish you want from out of that hole. And this bear says, how do you get them? He says, I put my tail down in there. When the fish bites, I pull them out, and throw them on the ice. He says, you can get all the fish you want, too, if you do that. And so the old fox, he takes his fish, and he heads out. And the poor old bear, he puts his tail down into the water, and it was 40 below, and it froze his tail into the ice. And there he was. And so his tail got froze in, and he pulled, and he pulled, and he pulled, and the bear lost his tail, and that's why bears today don't have any tails. That's seems logical to me. The Bible says it says in Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress and my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust will subdue with my people under me. You see that? You see all those? Why did God do that? Why did he say all those things over and over and over again? Fortress, high tower, deliverer, shield, our strength. Because he wants us to understand that this is real for you and for me. Not tomorrow, today. And starting today and tomorrow. We can draw upon the wonderful strengths of God if we're willing to recognize what's there in him, what we have available to us. Sometimes it's good to get to that high tower, and just one thing about up on, in a place like that, up in the 40 mile, where I was at Boundary, we were right at 3,000 feet, and you could look out and around, and I used to like, especially in the wintertime, I'd get on a snow machine and go up to the border. It's about another 1,200 feet up there. But from up there on the border, you could look out all around. And it was a beautiful, beautiful vantage point. I used to do that just to go up there and be still. This was before I got saved, but just go up there and still and be quiet and look out all around and know peace and comfort. Sometimes, we need a place like that. We need to go to that high tower, to that fortress, get close and alone. And as it says in Psalm 46, verse 10, be still. Do you take a moment or two? Will you take a moment or two every day and be still and quiet before God and talk to him as your father, as your friend, as your deliverer, and tell him that you're trusting in him to help you to meet the challenges of today and tomorrow, and that you do believe that he is, that you've made him. I'm making you my rock, God, and I want to stand on you and go out in your strength today, and I want you to help me to use that shield of my faith that I can resist the temptations of the flesh and of the world and to resist them, and he'd help me to have victory in that today. Here the Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. And again there you see those that are in Jesus, that are in Christ, they've got a position. They can look down upon the world and the enemies that are coming after them. They can't touch them because Jesus is watching out for them. And he is, if you truly know him, as your Savior. Again, we looked at every aspect of this verse except one. Can you say in this moment in time, the Lord, can you say that truthfully? Faith in the rock. That he is your deliverer. If not, I'd challenge you to make that decision even this time, because without the Lord as your Savior, you can't claim these wonderful promises that the Lord is your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your strength, buckler, and the horn of your salvation. If you have him as your Savior, you have everything. And you have all the rights and the promises that God will deliver you. But if not, without Christ, really, we have no footing. And as we saw in that in the little picture from Matthew 7, if you put your faith in anything less than the rock of Christ, the time of judgment is going to come. And you're going to two destinations in this life, heaven for the and hell for all those that have rejected the truths of God's word. So I hold that up to you tonight. I hope it's been a blessing to you.